So this morning, the thought I want to, that the Lord has laid on my heart, is overwhelmed by my selfishness. And that kind of seems like an odd thing, and honestly, that's not going to be the majority of the message, but that's as a thought for the title of the message this morning, overwhelmed by my selfishness, which is what kind of got me on this thought this morning. And so before I came home from college for spring break, which by the time we knew, and by the time we all came home, we knew we weren't just going home for break. So right before that, I in a sense became overwhelmed with my selfishness. In the face of God, God's great goodness, there was, it seemed, even greater selfishness. But the truth is that God's goodness overcomes even selfishness. When you think you have failed, wasted your time, come to the point where there is not time in a day, in a week, or whatever, God's goodness is still greater. So this morning, Romans 8:28, if you can turn there. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And God has a promise for you in this verse, that everything will work out for good. His requirement is that we love Him. And His reason is that He called us each individually to fulfill an exciting plan that only you and I can fulfill. So we're going to look at that promise. So it says, we see that all things. So everything is included in this promise to turn it to good, whether good or bad, planned or unplanned, surprising or even unsurprising. Now, if you can turn to Genesis 37, we're going to spend a lot of time in Genesis, and we'll go back and forth to Romans 8:28 here and there, but probably most of you have that memorized, so you probably really don't need to look at it. But in Genesis 37, we know of the story of Joseph. And we see in verse 6, it says, "And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf." And so we see the story of Joseph unfolding in chapter 37. And in 26 and 27, it says, "And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content." So that's right before he gets sold out into Egypt, and right before that we saw him getting thrown into the pit. His coat was taken from him, his coat was all scratched up, put blood on it, they sent it to his father later, and so we see all of these things going wrong for Joseph. And now he's getting sold into Egypt. But even in that, we're already beginning to see that Joseph was trusting God. So this was not what was supposed to happen. And in a sense, I can think and say, this isn't really what was supposed to happen, that I'm home right now. But God has a plan. Joseph wasn't supposed to be in Egypt. He was supposed to be able to grow up at home. But God's promise is that He will use it for good. And even in a quick illustration this morning, that was kind of unexpected, was that I had to go back and get my notes from home. Blessings of being close to home. But even in that, trusting God that for whatever reason, this that happened, and God is still going to use it for our good, even if it's simply for the sake of an illustration. But so we see that everything is included in this promise, but God's goodness is beyond what we can imagine. It is impossible. Now, we know in 1 Corinthians 2:9 it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that which God hath prepared for them that love Him." So God's promises are beyond what we can imagine. That means the most amazing thing that we can imagine, what that we want, that we could think of happening to us, whatever it's, some future ministry, some future job, some future family, some dream house, maybe even a dream vehicle. No matter how amazing we think we could get, God has the perfect thing in mind, and He can give us the perfect thing that actually satisfies our need rather than satisfies our want. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "Thou wilt keep me, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And then in Proverbs 10:22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it." Now, when we mess up, our first reaction is actually a Catholic reaction. And you're thinking, what? Why would we respond Catholic? Well, it's because that's the way the flesh responds. The flesh responds the way the Catholics respond. And so, listen, you'll understand. So, when you think, when you mess up, what happens is we think, "I can't believe I looked at that garbage. Why did I say that? That was so mean. I got so angry. I should have listened to the Holy Spirit and given that track, or at least talked to them about the gospel." So we go through that, and then after, our reaction is to sulk around. We will not allow ourselves to be happy or smile. We want to be alone. We want to feel bad because we messed up. Why? Because we do not think that God's goodness is greater than the problem that we went through, greater than the sin that we just did. And we don't believe the promise in 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because see, even though it's a completely different message, sanctification is just like salvation. There's no waiting period to be forgiven. It's right now. God restores that relationship immediately. Now, if you need to get right with other people and you cannot do it right now, so maybe that's that thing that we did, it affected other people, and so we need to get right with them. But what if we can't do it right now? What if we have to wait? Maybe it's in the middle of the night when God brings us to this, or whatever it might be, and we're like, there's no way I can communicate. You know what our thing is we'll still end up walking around sulking until we get that right. And we don't accept the fact that God forgave us. And the truth is that you can have joy and peace until you get right with that person, as long as you're right with God. Because God doesn't judge you on the fact that you haven't been able to get right with that person yet, because you can't right now. But so God has a promise that He will work everything for your good. Not just some of the things in your life, and He's not going to just make them okay. He's going to make them very good, beyond what we can imagine. But God gives us a requirement for this. And we're going to see that in Romans 8:28. So looking at that verse again, it says, to them that love God. So the requirement is, we need to love God. And we see in John 14:15, it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. What are Jesus' commandments? Well, we all know them. The Ten Commandments. There's the Ten Commandments. We're to love one another. Obey our parents. Trust and acknowledge Him. Confess your sins. And some of those last ones we don't always think about. Trust and acknowledge Him, that's a commandment. Confess your faults one to another, that's a commandment. But it is. And if we are to trust Him, then when things do not go the way we think they should go, we can still remember, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Isaiah 26:3. And John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So loving God is not just keeping his commandments, but it's claiming and believing his promises. So we need to do that. We need to love God, but we also need to make sure that we're loving him. It's not anything else, but it's love. And so in Genesis 39, again, we're looking at Joseph's life. And in verse 2, Genesis 39 in verse 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time when he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And we could continue this story, but Joseph had to love God through all of that situation completely. Now, if Joseph had become bitter in that situation, and he hadn't loved God, and he had started saying, life is not fair. I don't belong here. I shouldn't even be here. My brothers are the ones that sold me into this situation because they hated me. And just, he would have never received the blessing of the Lord. We would not be reading about him in Genesis either, because God wouldn't have been able to use somebody who was right here from the get-go, bitter at God, bitter at his brothers, and wasn't free. But Joseph was trusting God in this situation to work it out for good. And in Mark 12, verse 30, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Joseph was determined to love God. He wasn't going to doubt that God had something better. He was going to continue trusting. And so we see that we need to love God. We need to make sure that we're loving. And then we need to make sure that we are loving God, not something else. And we all know Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So it is God that must be loved. And what if instead of loving God, Joseph decided to love himself more than God? Well, we know the story. As he would have been going through, he now had in control everything in Potiphar's house. And then he could have had Potiphar's wife, but he didn't. He probably could have used the resources he had and escaped as well. I mean, if he was in control of everything, what if, I'm going to go get some supplies, and he disappeared and never came back? But he wasn't about himself. He wasn't loving himself. He was loving God and saying, this is where God wants me. And if he wants me to be free, then he'll make a way. But what happens when we don't love God? Well, you will not trust God to work everything out for good. Instead, you will try to make it good. You'll try to fix it yourself. You'll try to work harder. You'll try to organize better. You'll feel bad about yourself and actually not trust God at all. And to even just bring this down, in a sense, to our level, because right now it can be like, it kind of seems like it's out there. Like, this doesn't really make sense yet. And I know that's a lot of times for me, until it gets brought down to my level, it's just like, this doesn't make any sense. So it's in the everyday in life. Okay, work, school. Somebody got annoyed because we didn't submit the right form or submit the right whatever, send the right information to the other coworker, and now, so we're now feeling bad about that. Or we wanted to get all this stuff, all this school done, or we wanted to help somebody, we wanted to have the meal done on time, and it didn't happen. And it's right there at that point where we're now in the thing of, I messed up, and I just, now we can't, this is not going to work. But it's at that point when we have the opportunity to trust God that he's going to work it out. Now, because I know we're going through the experience of, yeah, but all of these other people are responding to me now because of what I did. But that's still the opportunity for God to work it out for good. It's really, okay, they're responding to you, but how are you going to respond back to them? Because that's showing whether or not you're trusting God that he's going to work it out for good. Or if you're now in the flesh and saying, I messed up and I can't fix this problem that I've created, and you're the result of now you're not getting fed, or your school's not done, or I wasn't able to finish my test, or whatever. But so it's right there. Okay, we're going to trust God. And then, or we just be honest with other people and say, okay, this is what happened in the day. And I don't know why these situations happen, but I'm just asking God to just show us, family, sibling, coworker, what God wants to do in this situation. So it's the time that we love God. See, the reason that God wanted to work out everything for good is found in the last part of the verse of Romans 8:28. To them who are the called according to His purpose. So the reason that God wants to work everything out for our good is because He has called us. See, the God of the universe, the King of Kings, the highest authority wants you. Like we see that picture of Uncle Sam, and he says, the USA wants you to do this or that or whatever for the United States. And God's not so much, well, in a sense He is. He's I want you. But it's the finger and the eyes and the voice of a loving Father who has exactly in mind something that would be beyond your wildest dreams. And so what I want you to think about this, I don't know who you admire, respect, honor the most, or would do anything for. Some maybe would do something for Trump, I don't know, but whatever. But there's probably somebody else. And if they were to come to your house tomorrow, make you a personal visit, and ask you to help them do something that you're actually good at, that you already know, you like doing this, you'd be like, totally, I would love to help you. And yet at the same time, when God comes knocking, we're like, let me think about it. Because we don't trust Him. We don't think that He really wants to do things the way we hope they come out. And mostly it's just because, well, we don't trust Him, but we don't think His timing is right. We think our timing is better, because we want the good things to come now, not when He has it all planned out. So, even in that though, He still has called us. He doesn't worry about the fact that we don't always respond the way we should. And if we can look at Genesis 40, verse 14 and 15, this is right after he interprets the dream for the butler. So right after he interprets the dream of the butler, Joseph says to him, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house," which was actually a prison. And then he says, "For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." And then verse 23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." Right here we see that God had a plan and God had a purpose. God had called Joseph, and He was calling him to do something for Egypt and actually that part of the known world. But the truth is, Joseph was not trusting God's plan yet in this time. Because when he saw a human opportunity to get delivered out of the prison, he tried to work the situation out faster so he could get out of prison. And we know this because when we find out when he started trusting God, it was 2 years later when Joseph had the dream, when Pharaoh had the dream. And the butler remembered the man who had interpreted his dream. Because honestly, if Joseph was completely trusting God, he wouldn't have had to say anything. Because he would have he interpreted the butler's dream, the butler would have went back home, and Pharaoh would have had his dream. And the butler would have said, "Oh, hey, just the other day, I had my dream interpreted, and he would have went and told Pharaoh. But we see that it took 2 years before Joseph was completely trusting God at this time in his life. So far we hadn't seen this yet, but here it takes 2 years before Joseph's where God wants him. And so God sends the dream to Pharaoh and brings him out of prison. Because that was what God's plan was. God's plan was that when Joseph was completely trusting, then God was going to bring him out of the prison. That's why he sent the butler and the baker to Joseph, was so that the butler could come back and tell Pharaoh. But God needed Joseph to be where he was supposed to be before he could bring him out. And so we see it was those 2 years. But then Joseph trusted him. Joseph trusted God. God brought him out. And that was God's call. And so that's the same thing for us. We have to stop trying to manipulate things and make things work our way and just say, no, God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to stop trying to manipulate the fact that I messed up. So God has called us. And God has a purpose for us to fulfill. So yeah, there's two reasons. God has called us, and God has a purpose for us to fulfill. And we see in Genesis 50, 19 through 21, it says, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. So here we're seeing Joseph's response to his brethren. After all he had went through, he was now able to come to them, to comfort them, encourage them, lift them up, because of all of the years of God testing him, trying him, growing him, proving him, putting him under the fire, putting him in the fire, so that now that he's come out, there's no more doubt. There's just simply trusting that Jesus had meant it all for good. That God had meant it all for good. So I just want to consider, I want each one of us to consider even now in this time. When was the last time that something went wrong? Was it this morning? Was it last week? Kind of doubt last week, because things go wrong all the time, even for me. I left these at home. It was kind of something that went wrong. But how did we respond? I know as I was driving back home, I was like, this is crazy. And I was just like smiling. I was like, but actually this is kind of also funny, because I can be joyful about this, because it was completely my fault that I left my papers at home. I left them on a shelf. I went and took care of something. So I was like, I was doing something good. I was taking care of something that was left out. It was food. And I grabbed my Bible and I left and I went out the door. And my papers were still sitting on the shelf. But are we going to trust? Are we going to rejoice? Respond with a positive spirit and just continue to show God's love to other people because God's still good? Imagine if every single time something happened that wasn't planned, we responded as Joseph learned to respond. That no more selfishness, no more about me, no more doubting, just believing God to work it out for good. In 1 Corinthians 15:57 it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we already have the victory assured in each one of our lives. We don't have to try to work it up, because when Jesus died on the cross, he died and paid for all of our sins so that we don't have to struggle. See, Joseph learned to do what Paul was teaching in, I believe, the Galatians, when he said, it's no more about, well, it's just about submitting yourself to do righteousness, just as you used to submit yourself to sin. And so right before I came to college, I mean, came back home from college, the thought was that selfishness. That here I had months of time at college, different opportunities, different ways to minister to people, to reach out to people, to connect to people, whether it was going out soul winning or taking time and just spending time with people. And then it was all cut short. The month and a half we all expected to have was gone. And it was very sobering to realize that so often the time that we think we have is not really ours to have. And we can get overwhelmed and consumed with all of this time that I wasted, and yet how is this going to work out right? But it's this remembering that God has a promise that He wants to fulfill in each one of us, that He will work everything out for good. He has a requirement to receive this promise, that we love Him. And He has a reason, because He wants each one of us to be able to fulfill something that only we can fulfill as we walk with God and trust Him to do that through us. And we can't get bogged down with any little thing, because we never need to be discouraged, because God is always working. So it is this morning, honestly, with thinking overwhelmed by my selfishness. You can't stay overwhelmed by your selfishness, because being overwhelmed automatically means that you're not really trusting God. Now, I can say, though, that there can be... We do need to have that, and we can't have that time of absolute brokenness because of our selfishness. And we can literally cry and sob out to God. And He's always there to reach down and touch us with His love, with His goodness, showing us, I'm bigger than this. And we don't have to be overwhelmed by our selfishness. We can trust and be confident in a God that nothing is too big and hard for Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You that You're a good God and that You love us. And even when we don't understand what's going on or why things are going on the way they are, we can trust You. So, Father, I just ask that with the overwhelming things of life, the little details even, the small deadlines that we all have, whether it's work, school, house, family, ministry, that each one of those things, Lord, that we would take a personal application to, that we would take each one of those little things and search out, Lord, how we are supposed to respond in every single one of those little things, how we are to trust You with those details, not doubting, not getting frustrated, not getting overwhelmed, but just simply trusting, listening to Your voice, obeying Your call. So, Father, I do just pray that You would bless and enable us, Lord. Give us Your grace and give us Your strength. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.